principles, some basic principles for the Yom Kippur Pesach. Okay, so I'm going in order, spend some time appearing. Okay, so we spoke about Aramaic, Haggadah, that was the lesson that we did. Let's continue, we're up to, I'm just following pretty much the same before Marganisa Toya. This one is the word. Safe is just jam-packed principles, lumdus, halacha, agada. There's an enormous amount of material over here, and it's also a lot of good source material. So let's start one thing at a time, which we'll show many things we can cover. Let's talk about wearing a kittel. Okay, there is a minog by many people to wear a kittel the night of Pesach. Not everyone has this minog. Okay, I know I once knew a person that was very upset about this minog. He did not wear a kittel, and then he married off child, and I guess he went to a seder by another family, and everyone at that family wore a kittel, and he was the only one not wearing a kittel, and he never heard of this. He never in his life heard. He's a very hush person, in fact. He never heard of this minute wearing a kittel. I mean, all looked at him like he's crazy. It's brought down in the Maril. It's a minhag. It's a custom. So don't feel bad. There are a lot of people who do not have this custom. Do not feel bad. There's no question about it that there are people that do not never ever accepted this. It's a custom. Now the person that I knew, he went. He was very hurt, and he went on a vendetta to prove that there is no such minhag. There is no such minhag to wear a kittel, and these people are wearing a kittel. They don't know what they're. He's right and they're wrong. That does not appear to be true. It seems there are plenty of valid, significant sources, even the Maril, that says there is a minhag to wear a kittel at this event. Not everyone accepted it, so don't get upset. Okay, so what purpose? So one purpose, there are many, many purposes. Let's discuss right away. What one purpose of wearing a kittel is derech eros. A white garment, it represents royalty. When Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah, the first 7 days of the Miluim, okay, and Moshe Rabbeinu, on the 23rd day of Adar, he put up the Mishkan. And for 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu erected the Mishkan and brought korbanos. And then when the day was over, he took it apart. He did this for 7 days. Moshe basically served as a Kohen in the Mishkan for 7 days. What garment did he wear? Did he wear B'nai Kahuna? Rashi says Moshe wore a white garment. This is a kittel. A kittel. Not B'nai. He didn't wear a garment. He didn't wear the dalit brother. He did not wear a garment. He did not wear a hat. Doesn't say anything about a hat. I don't know how he covered his head. I don't know what he did. He wore the simplest white garment. Just a lavan chaluk. It says Rashi, it says the simplest white garment. He wore this garment when he did this. It's a pasuk. Rashi is like from a pasuk. A special white garment, basically what we call a kittel. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu wore when he did the avodah. So basically, this is part of one of the many reasons. When at the night of the Pesach Seder, every Jew to a degree is like a kohen, like Moshe Rabbeinu. You're bringing a carbon Pesach. The Karban Pesach is offered on the 14th day after Chatzos. Karban Pesach is a completely different type of carbon. Everyone, in fact, ordinarily a Yisrael is not allowed to enter into the Beis Hamikdash. Erev Pesach, every Yisrael was allowed to come into the Beis Hamikdash, and they stood with the Kohanim. In fact, there were shortages of Kohanim, so the Yisrael did this Shechita, it's Vashna. They did the Shechita, because the Shechita Ksher Bazar. And they ate it. It's different. It's a different type of carbon. And therefore, every person wears a white garment just if you're a Kohen, so then you would wear your big day kahuna. You'll be wearing the four garments, the belt, the nechnasayim, the mitbois, the kesoines. But if you're not a Kohen, you can't wear these four garments. So what do you wear? You wear the same garment that Moshe Rabbeinu wore when he brought korbanos during those 7 days, a white, simple garment. So it resembles the garment of Avoda for a non-Kohen. And we have a precedent for this. Moshe Rabbeinu was a non-Kohen, and he wore this garment. Today, no one's, even the Kohanim are not doing avodah. They're not serving the night of Pesach as Kohanim. They're just doing service as an ordinary person because there is no Beit Hamikdash. So when you come and eat the Karban Pesach or Zecher Pesach, you gotta wear the right clothing. And the right clothing, when you're doing avodah and you're not a Kohen, you're just a white, simple garment. That is one reason. Another reason is, as I said before, it's Derech Cheilus. Somehow wearing a white garment that represents royalty. It represents Malchus. Today, obviously, it doesn't. But that's what it was traditionally. It's a garment that represents white and it's pure. Malchus, kings were white. And that's another reason. A third very popular reason is because it's a reminder of the Yom HaNisa, the day of death. A person, when he dies, is buried in Tachrichim. And the custom from time immemorial is to be buried in white garments. In Tachrichim are white. A person puts on a white garment to remind him, don't get carried away. Just because you're going to drink 4 cups of wine and have a nice meal and be in a good mood, watch yourself. Don't get carried away. You shall remember the Yom HaMisa. Now, there's a very big daf kamina. What about an ovel? Does an ovel wear, a person is within 1 year of avelus, does he wear a kippel? So it all depends. If the primary reason why a person wears a kippel is he should remember the day of death, you don't have to remind this fellow. A person who's now within 1 year of losing a relative knows very much what death is all about. There's no need to rub it in. There's no need to exacerbate his condition, so he does not need, should, in fact, should not wear it. A chassan, during the first year of marriage, if you wear a kittel, if the reason why he wears the kittel is because of Yom Nisa, you don't scare a chassan kala. Chassan is not going to wear, you don't tell a chassan to think about death during the year, the first year. He's a prisoner. Should wear like an orange. He should come wearing an orange shirt. I'm a prisoner. My wife has captured me. Okay, so this is an afkamina. Halacha l'maaseh, everyone, they're different in hagim. They're different in hagim about a chassan, if they're here, some do, some don't. In avel, it all depends on what is the primary reason. So because of avoda, because of simcha, then avelim would wear a kittel. If it's and a chassan would, during the first year, would wear a kittel. Because of its maskadi amamisa, then obvious, then these do not. Everyone has their own minhagim. Now there's not there is such a minute where what Maral was more recent. Maral was only 200 years ago. The Maral was about 800-900 years ago.
Isn't that still 1,000 years?
Right. It's no. So I mean, all Jewish when the Maral came along and wrote down the minhagim, it doesn't mean that he invented them. The Maral just recorded what people were doing. But you should know, that's not necessarily true. There are some minhagim which were instituted during that time. During the time, I know Judaism developed. That's a very dangerous word. I don't mean it in a non-halachic sense. But during, after the Jews, the halachas were different to a certain degree until the time of the Chasimas HaTalmud, until about the year, the secular year, 600-700. The halachas were not the way we do it today. The Chazal was still in the business of instituting halacha. And there was a lot of diversity. Even halacha, forget about minhagim. Minhagim is just custom. It's not a big deal if you don't do it. But halacha, what bracha you make, do you do this, do you do that? Until the end of the Chasimas HaTalmud, even more, in time of the Rabbanon Savaroi, and even the Goinim, we're dealing until basically the year 1000, the secular year 1000. Okay, so we're dealing over here 1,000 years ago. Until the year 1000, halacha, to a large degree, was still in its development stage. There's mitzvahs deraisa, and there was tradition, and there was a way of doing things, and there was a lot of disagreement, amarayim, panoyim, and not everyone did the same thing. And it took generations, literally generations, until there was clarification.
Those things changed drastically at the Korban, so it hadn't developed.
And even before the Korban, There was a need for many takonis to rabbah, and many there are takonis, there are gezerais, there were halachais, then came minhagim. So until about 1,000 years ago, if we would go in a time machine and go back 1,000 years ago, I think we'd be very surprised. We'd be very surprised in many different ways. We'd be very impressed, and we'd be very surprised. And there's a certain evolution. They're not nice words. These are very words which are very dangerous words. But it's a fact. It's a fact. There's a certain evolution in halacha, but you have to be very careful what that means. In minhagim, in an establishment of which opinion the entire Klal Yisrael follows. It's not a free-for-all. Everyone has to do the same thing. In the time of the Tanoim, people do whatever they wanted. And the only time it became an issue is when they started observing different calendar dates. That was Pikuach Nefesh. When one group of Jews, our Yom Kippur is on this day, and your Yom Kippur is on that day. That was a red line you could not cross. But you want to go do the halacha this way, you want to do it this way, do this other day. It came a point in time that was not acceptable. It has to be uniformity. And then there had to be a need for many gezeros, chumras, takonos de rabbano. And then out of that evolved minhagim. And then not everyone accepted the minhagim. Wearing a kittel, not everyone ever accepted wearing a kittel. It's clear as day that there are groups in Klal Yisrael do not wear a kittel. They don't even know, never even heard of this custom wearing a kittel. Today we live in the global melting pot where everything is one shape, one size, fits all. And memeila, you have mechutanim with this one. You wear a kittel, I'll also wear a kittel. Your great-grandparents have never worn a kittel for 1,000 years. How come all of a sudden you're wearing a kittel? Because I'm under pressure. My son-in-law came to the Seder. I don't want to embarrass my daughter. My daughter then found this nice Jewish boy. And if he's going to come to the Seder, he's going to see that a shver is not wearing a kittel. He's going to think, who knows what? So I don't want to embarrass my daughter. My daughter told me I better wear a kittel for the Seder because her husband is coming for the Seder. So the man shalom bayis, I'll put on a kittel. Fast forward 10 years later, we always wore a kittel. We've been wearing a kittel for 1,000 years. No, you were not. What happened? You fell to the pressure of society. Welcome to America. Welcome to America. Okay, 90% of the things that go on in America all fit into the story that I just told. That's the way it is. So what's so terrible? Not the end of the world. That's the way it is. This is Jewish history. Okay, so with the kittel, my real sites that even kittel, you mentioned also some say the connected kittel of Yom Kippur to the kittel of the Seder. In fact, some people would bedafka, this is a little extreme, they would go out of their way to stain their kittel on purpose.
First mentioned.
Why? Why would they stain their kittel? So when it comes to Yom Kippur, look at my kittel, look at the matzah, and the yayin, the zuchus of the Seder, the Dal of Kaisos, have rachmanis on us, on Yom Kippur, the Yom Hadin, ad kidei kach, don't send your kittel to the cleaner, it's after Pesach, right. You should wear the dirty kittel with the wine stain on Pesach, it should be me'orer zuchus on the Yom Hadin. Listen, no one's gonna do that today, obviously. Yeah.
If you do that, I said it to my wife one time, sort of, to see her reaction. Said, "You're not going to school."
Okay. So this is
the kittel is first mentioned in
Mach Zavitri, even earlier than the Maril, same time, approximately. Same time. Mach Zavitri is Rashi. Rashi wrote a siddur, his Talmud wrote a siddur.
Says a person should be machlif his begodim makovet Shabbos. If he can't afford Shabbos clothes, he should put on, and I forget the term that he uses, that the French Jews use that term. They don't say kittel. He should put on what we call the kittel. In other words, that was a beged of Yontif, Osiris Yontif.
Okay, now I'll tell you other reasons. He says there'll be some very interesting reasons. Now this is Nogei Hilchas Ishus, a nida. a nida at certain times of the process of tahara, she wears levanim. Okay, I don't know the halachas. I don't know the halachas, the details of all these laws, but there are certain times in her monthly cycle where she does the bedika, where she wears white garments. White, so men basically, according to what he's suggesting over here, they're copying the women. This noshim sidkanis, but what the men are doing is, being that white garments for noshim represent tahara, purity, likewise, Pesach is a zman of tahara, where the at eroim, the area, mispersesses bidomoyach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of the zuhama of Mitzrayim. He took us out of lo yochlu lehismamea. We were mired in tumah. Hashem lifted us up and was metaher us. It's a garment of tahara. It's a garment of tahara. Another idea presented is it's the garments of the malachi hasharis. In Shemayim, no one came back to tell us what this means. In Shemayim, they have clothing. What does it mean? Shemayim, they have clothing. What does this mean in Shemayim? But it's brought down in these mystical sefarim that a kittel is malachim on Shemayim are dressed in white. So we at the Pesach Seder, we resemble the Malachi Hasharis, we imitate them, we wear white garments. Another mahal, this is another interesting idea, and that is, let's go talk about Trumas Hadeshet. Rashi in Parashas Tzav, when the Torah teaches us the laws of Trumas Hadeshet, in the morning the coin would go on top of the Mizbech and remove ash, and would take a small amount of ash and put it on the side of the Mizbech. And Rashi there is Medaik in the Pasuk, is Chazal Medaik, the clothing that the Kohen wears when he performs the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen are not the best. It's not a Shabbos Big Day Kahuna. In other words, a very fascinating thing. Kohanim, we learned about the Big Day Kahuna. The Kohanim. Kohanim came to work in the Beis HaMikdash a whole week. There were 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim. This I'm telling you is a very big chiddush, this idea. There are 24 mishmaros of Kohen. They rotate. A Kohen worked basically 2 weeks a year. He didn't even work 2 weeks a week, he worked 2 days a year. He shows up, they live and they do whatever they do the whole year. And every 24 weeks, miluim, you're called up to come to the Beis HaMikdash for service. You're there the entire week. The entire mishmar is divided into six groups, six bati ovets. On your day, you show up and you work the whole day. You bring kurbanos. You people come to the Beis HaMikdash, they have to bring kurbanos. You there, you mekabel the people, you do the shechita, the kabbalah, the halacha, the shrika, what kind of carpet you want to bring. They work a whole day, one day in every 24 weeks. Now, when the Kohen does avoda, what does he wear? Four garments. He wears a belt, he wears pants, he wears a tunic, and he wears a hat. Big day kahuna. Okay, after he works that one day, he also works on Shabbos. They work on Shabbos. They work one day a week, and when they're there for the entire week, they're also there on Shabbos. When else do the Kohanim work besides the one day during the week and then work on Shabbos? Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, all the Kohanim can do whatever they want. On Yom Tov. Shalosh Regalim. Question. The Kohen's going to work on Shabbos, and he's going to work on Yom Tov, and he's going to work during the weekday. And what is he going to wear? He's going to wear four garments. Are the four garments that he wears on a Wednesday, are they the same four garments he wears on Shabbos when he does avodah on Shabbos? Are they the same four garments he wears on Yom Tov? They're only allowed to wear four garments. And the Torah doesn't tell us that you have special garments for Shabbos, special garments for the weekday, special garments for the Shalosh Regalim. Doesn't say. Rashi basically says that he does. Rashi says that every Kohen has a different set of clothing. They're four garments, but the quality is not the same. The quality of linen, there are different types of linen. Okay, I would not just like, you know, wool, Turkish wool. Anyone have a Turkish wool talis? Turkish wool talis.
That'd be a red.
A Turkish wool. Linen, it's not all the same. In fact, the Gemara says that the linen that the Kohen Gadol war for his Big Day Kahuna was exquisite, was very expensive, and it was sourced from Egypt. and it costs this amount of money. They had to wear different garments in the morning and different garments in the afternoon, Yom HaKippurim, different quality linen. The Torah just says you wear linen, four linen garments. The belt may have chatanes, may have some wool. You know, it's not all the same. Go on Amazon. You can buy a suit for $1,000. You can buy a suit for $200. It's not all the same. Just because it fits and it's white and it's linen, there are different quality linen garments. And after you wear your clothing for a significant amount of time, it wears out. So the Kohen Hedyot who wore the Big Day Dalid, it was one size fits all. The same garments he wore during the week, he wore on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rashi basically says, no, he didn't. He had a wardrobe, he had a closet, and he had different quality linen garments, the Big Day Dalit, the four garments, different quality. And when he did Shumas Hadeshen, he wore the lowest quality. He went to his closet and he took out last year's Pesach, last year's or 2 years ago's Big Day Dalit that he wore on Yom Tov. Now he has new, fresh, clean, upgraded, more expensive. So now these are the old garments. This is what he wore when he did Terumas Hadeshen, when he took the garbage out, when he went to the top of the Mizbech and got himself dirty by taking the ash off the Mizbech and putting it outside. Rashi says, because Eina Doimer, Rashi Chazal, is Medayik in the Pasuk, when you work for the king, the clothing you wear when you present yourself in front of the king is not the same clothing you wear when you're working in the kitchen. When you're working in the kitchen and you're preparing the food, you put on an apron, you wear jeans, and you put on sneakers, and you wear different types of clothing. Maybe you have to wear a uniform. You're in the palace, so you don't just wear jeans. You have to wear a uniform. But the uniform is work clothing, so you should be comfortable. And if it gets dirty, no big deal. When you present yourself as a chef, as you come out into the audience, and you ever go to these very fancy dinners where the chef himself comes out to present you the food? Many, many years ago, I was a guest somewhere in Shabbos in the hotel, and the chef himself came out to present the food. He came out dressed in Big Day Shemoyna. He was wearing this big hat, this whole uniform, and he came out to present the food to the guests. There's no doubt in my mind, he wasn't wearing those clothing when he was in the kitchen cooking. He wasn't wearing a spotless white hat and a beautiful apron with designs on it. This is ceremonial clothing. When you're in the kitchen, you're wearing dirty clothing. And Rashi says, so when the Kohen does avoida on the Mizbeach of Shumas Hadeshen, you don't wear the same clothing you wear when you shech the carbon, when you do a carbon with someone else. Everything has its time. Shabbos, they wore better clothing. Yom Tov, even better clothing. Even though the Torah says you wear Big Day Dalit, and it's very simple, it's just linen. And what's there? No, it's not all the same. We know the words is the finish. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur in the morning, the cost of his uniform was this, and the afternoon, this is what it cost. It was sourced from Egypt, the most expensive, exquisite linen. The chulu, the chulu. You see the finish name all over the place. There's different quality Big Day Kohuna for everyone. And Rashi says that in the tradition there are different quality. Therefore, Rabbi Dvorkis, he writes over here, that is why you wear different clothing, you wear a kippah on the night of the Seder. Because the night of the Seder, it's a different service. It's a different service. When you go to shul, you wear a Hugo Boss. When you go to shul, you wear one type of garment. When you duchen, you go to shul Friday, when you duchen, you wear a talis, you put a talis over your head. There are certain times you wear it. These are minhagim, obviously, but we all know that in our religious service towards Hashem, we don't always wear the same garments. Shachris, you wear a talis. Mincha, you don't wear a talis. Do you wear a hat on your head? Some do, some don't. Maariv, you dress like this. When you go to Tashlich, you dress like this. There is a uniform. Maybe today it's we don't differentiate so much in our uniform, but seemingly, you know, there's a minute that goes back 1,000 years. A different service demands a different uniform. When you do bedikas chametz, how do you dress? A very interesting question. Go study. What? When you do bedikas chametz, it will be very interesting to get the gedolim pictures of all the gedolim Yisrael do bedikas chametz. Are they wearing their hanging jackets?
Yeah.
Are they wearing a gartel? What are they? How do you dress? Bedikas chametz is supposed to get dirty. You know, get that on the floor. You're going to go wear your kapata to do bedikas chametz. You're not going to be able to find the chametz to be wearing a kapata. You got to take off your kapata, roll up your sleeves, and get to work. How do you dress in bedikas chametz? How do you dress when you clean your car? And how do you dress when you go for tashlich? How do you dress when you bake matzahs? Okay, today, you know, it doesn't really mean anything today. But you assume that in previous generations, there are different uniforms for different services. Okay, a chazan, I'm a big fan, they wear a special hat, they had a robe something around their neck. I don't know what's orthodox, it's not orthodox, but there's a uniform. Lel Seder, it's not so much. This is the point. In all of the ideas that we've expressed until now, we're discussing, you put on a white garment because this is your malach. You put on a white garment because it's Yad Moshe Rabbeinu during the Miluim, you're wearing a beged lavan. You put on a white malach, you're putting on your tachrichin. You're putting on a white garment, it's big day malchus. All of the ideas that we presented are all, you're putting on a white garment because this is what you're supposed to wear. In this approach, it's not what you're supposed to wear. Maybe you should wear a purple garment. It's a different garment. It's not a matter, this is what you're supposed to wear. You're supposed to dress differently for the Seder. The Seder is a service. It's not just a regular, ordinary dinner. I'll have some matzah, we'll have some macaroons, and we'll give out some presents to the kids. Thanksgiving meal. That's not what it is. This is a religious service. And this religious service demands a unique uniform. Because we're in Galus and we're not very creative in these matters, so, Lou, what could I put on tonight that will show I am dressing, I'm putting on a uniform, a unique uniform for this service? I need a uniform. I don't got anything in the closet. All I have is just my regular clothing. What I wear to shul, what I wear to work. What am I gonna do? What am I gonna put on different? It shouldn't be late summers. You don't put on a Purim costume, obviously. It shouldn't be late. So what could I put on to show that I'm dressing in a unique uniform for this service? I don't need it to be white. It could be multicolored. I could wear kesoinis passim. It's because we just don't really have, we're in Golus. In history, we've been traveling around every year, been worried about blood libels, worrying about survival and poverty. Lou, what do we got in the closet that we can show we're doing something? Oh, kittel. Excellent. Let's put on the kittel. Unique service. It's not that the kittel is white and it's malchus, it's big day mason, it's big day simcha, it's these mystical things. Yeah, that's one mahalach. But it's another mahalach. A religious service demands a uniform. The clothing the Kohen wore when he did Trumas Hadeshen is not the same clothing he wore when he did Broda Karva. What you wear on Shabbos is not what you wear on Yom Tov. What you wear on Yom Tov is not what you wear during the week. What you wear to Shachar is not what you wear to Mincha. That's all it's about. Okay, one last idea. I like this idea very much. Druk, Rabbi Druk, they put a new article put out at the best of my knowledge, just three Hagodos. So I got to hold the list of one so far. Rabbi Druk. Around Juki, they put out from him already a few. What?
I saw that in
the right, so they put out three. It's very bad already. We bought. They put out three new Haggadahs this year. One of our Belsky that I didn't see yet. Our Belsky, I know, put out. He's my friend Abramowitz. I'm very happy to see him. He was married to Shul for many years. So very, very close Talmud of Belsky. Very close Talmud. Very good person. Who, after he got married, he moved to Eretz Yisrael. I haven't seen him in years. So I see that he was the author of this. So this, he compiled all the material. and he probably wrote it, I'm sure. I didn't see it yet. And they have a Rabelsky on the Haggadah. I didn't see it. And they put out another one, Besser. One of the big writers put out, I don't know, Hasidish Haggadah. I don't know what it is. I didn't see it. And they put out for by Druk, Rav Druk. They put out already from him many, a couple of albums, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, maybe something else. So now they put out a Haggadah. So I just glanced into it and he said something very nice about wearing a kippah. He says, what is the mitzvah? One of the basic reasons that we mentioned is wear a kittel to remind you, don't get carried away. Put on your big day tachlich. Dress yourself in the same clothing that you will be dressed in, achar me'av esra. That's one of the most popular reasons why we wear a kittel. I told you, that's why a chosam does not wear a kittel. And that's why an other does not wear a kittel, according to some those who don't, because they already have enough of a dosage of or an oval already is unfortunately shaken up with misa. Don't overdo it. Don't tell him to put on a kittel to imagine he died. A chasam is yimei asimcha. Don't tell a chasam to think about death at this time. But a regular person, you have to humble yourself, think about the end of life, and dress in a garment that captures the end of life. Okay, that's the basic reason. But he goes a step further. He says something very, very powerful. He says, what is the primary mitzvah sayon at the Seder? V'higadata levincha b'ayom al-hulema b'avurza sasham l'vitzesim v'mitzrayim. Instruct your children. The whole mitzvah is all about the children. Teach them. Teach them where they come from. Teach them what they're supposed to do with their lives. Give over the legacy of Klal Yisrael to your children. Prepare, train, nurture a new generation. This is going to be your legacy. When you're gone, what is going to be your legacy? Your legacy is what you give over, what you transmit to the next generation. When a person is sitting by the Seder and talking to his children and teaching them, remember, when it's all over, this is all you got. Your legacy will be what you've given over to them. Your success in transmitting the Messiah to the next generation. What Druk is doing is he's connecting. No one else does this. I never saw this before. No one connects. The kittel, why are kittel? Kittel, 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 kittel. He says, no, the kittel is 100% connected to the mitzvah, the garata levincha bayana hulema. This is not a joke. You're not taking them to great adventures. You take your kids to great adventures. You put on a kittel? No. You put on your sneakers and your baseball hat and who knows what. You go to great adventures. I take my kids to have some fun. When Achameh Eshem, your kids are going to remember that you took them to great adventures. Yeah, they will. Hopefully they will. That would be a nice thing they should remember. Is that what you want them to remember you for? Is that the legacy you want them? You want them to remember that. That's a very important. You do want, there's a very critical element in life that your children should remember that you took them to great adventures. Okay, you want your kids should remember that you take them to Davin, you take them to Roshana Yom Kippur. You want them to remember that, yeah, you do. You take them to Yeshiva. Yeah, of course. But the Gadata Levincha, you have to understand that is what your children, you want them to remember. You want that Achaneh V'Esrim, you want that when a person passes away, the memory that the children will have of their parent is, I transmitted to them the authenticity of Yiddishkeit, of their Messiah, of where they come from. Therefore, dress the part to remember that's all you're going to have when it's all over. Imagine yourself now dead. Imagine yourself now in the Olam Ha'emes, and your children here are in this world. What is my relationship? In other words, when you're dressed in the white, in the kittel, it's not just, oh, don't get carried away. No, you're white. You're actually right now not in this world anymore. It's a fantasy event for you. You're not in this world anymore. You're in Shemayim. You're in the Olam HaEmes. I'm not here. And these are my children. What do my children have from me? What do they get from me, my children? I brought them into this world to go play baseball, to make a lot of money, to be journalists. Is that a strange thing to say?
Yeah.
Right? What? More bizarre than that. What do they have? What do they? You want to see this scene in your lifetime. You want your children. I'm not here anymore. I'm in the Elamot Emes. And my children have for me the Mesorah. Pesach is a dogma of what your what the end game is. I told you many times my rise in the spooky story. He says this in Mitzvah Shabbos. He said it, I'm not making this up. And his family, he says, he has a grave. Mm. He has a grave, all ready to go. The family, they have a family plot. His whole family, his parents, grandparents, they bought. So he knows exactly where he's going to be buried. He said this in Mitzvah Shabbos. He knows exactly where he's going to be buried. And he says, I used to see myself, Tachna Yeshiva, Stav, not so far from him, Mish Tervidas, Mincha, Tachna. He's now very upset. He loves Tachna. He's got a rise and he loves Tachna. He says his favorite day is Beis Iyar. Like, say Tachna again. A whole month, no Tachna. How are you going to survive this one? Mark, a whole month, no Tachna? How are you going to survive? No Tachna. Bear in mind, no Tachna the whole month? Okay, so he said that when he falls Tachna, what does he do? He imagines, he said. He imagines. Pictures, because Tachna is like you imagine yourself dying. He sees before him his coffin being lowered into the grave. And he knows where his plot is. And he has the whole scene in front of him. That's what goes through his mind when he falls Tachna. He shall live forever. One day, what happened? By here, he had a relative who passed away. He went to the Leviathan. The relative is going to be buried in the family plot. An older, whatever relative. Gets in the car. All the cars should line up. We're going to the cemetery. We'll go live right away. Don't dilly dally here. They're gonna close the gates. Gets in the car, he starts going. You know how it happens, he gets lost. They take off, the people who drive the hearse. They just disappear somewhere. So he got a little lost and he ran. So he had a guy go a bludgeon, but he eventually made it to the cemetery, but he came a few minutes late. And as he came into the cemetery, they were lowering the coffin into the grave. Guess what? The cemetery made a mistake. They opened the wrong grave. Whose grave do they open? His! So he walks in, he comes late. He comes late to the cemetery. He comes there, and he's standing there. And what does he see? He sees the scene that he pictured in his mind for years alive. Baruch Hashem. Gesund und stark. And he sees mamish that scene that he's been thinking his whole life. Coffin, he lowered into his grave. The only difference is he's not in it. Baruch Hashem. Isn't that an amazing story?
So what did he do though? He didn't say anything?
No, it's too late. So they had, obviously, so it is what it is. I don't know what they did. Obviously, they had to make a new arrangement, whatever it is. Isn't that an amazing story? That's a spooky story. That's a spooky story. That's an unbelievable story. Think about it. Well, guess what? The Pesach Seder is exactly that, according to Rabbi Druk, is exactly that for every single person. I'm dressed in white. I'm gone. I'm not here anymore. I'm already in the next world. And what am I seeing in front of me? I'm seeing my children. What am I seeing? My children, their connection to me is the Mesorah. V'gadta levincha b'yoyim ahu leimar. I'm seeing here that the success of how I have transmitted the authentic Mesorah of Klal Yisrael to the next generation, to my children. That's the end game. But I'm zoicha to see this alive. It's like the same story as the Rizman said for every single person. This is what Rabbi Druk is doing. He's taking the kittel and he's connecting it specifically to the Gadat HaLevinah. the most standard run of the mill. Every Haggadah, the kids are, oh, Big Day Mason, Big Day Mason, Big Day Mason. And that's why the Chassid doesn't work. That's why the other doesn't work. Oh, very good. Oh, but there's another 10 reasons. Can I try to give you another 10 reasons of why you wear a kittel? They're all good with it. I mean, I part of the Torah. And if you don't want to wear a kittel, it's also good. It's also God's fine. Not everyone in Cloud Show was macabre the minute to wear a kittel. That is a double portion. There are a lot of people that were not macabre this minute to wear a kittel. But there are those that do, and those that do have mamish. This goes back from time immemorial. It goes all the way back. It goes all the way back. And for the people who do wear, it's a very interesting approach to appreciating. The children don't wear a kittel. No. Children don't wear a kittel. Not the young adults either. Only the father, the Reish Habayis. Because what's this all about? It's a powerful idea, no? I think it's a very powerful idea.
Well, okay. The married children.
Okay, because the married children, they're doing it for their children. They're doing it for their children, okay? Okay, it also explains a little bit why it's that like a person, the first year of marriage. First year of marriage, you don't wear a kid. You don't have children yet. Okay, it's not common that someone in the first year of marriage already has a child. It takes 9 months, so at least 5 months. Okay, so it also gives them different time. And even if you have a child during the first year, it's already 1 year of a child. I mean, you're not holding yet at that madrigo where you know you got it for a little bit, but you're not up to that. A baby that's 9 months old, you're not exactly holding there. It also explains why a chassan kala, a chassan doesn't work. Okay, this is one idea. Now, I want to tell you one. We have another few minutes. I'll tell you another idea, which made a reshim on me, and that is, let's talk about we make a brach on matzah. How many brachas do you make on matzah? Two brachas. First, you make the bracha of hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Baruch atah Hashem Elokim Melech Olam hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Wow. You make that bracha, you can make that bracha every single day. And then you make another bracha, a mitzvah. Baruch atah Hashem Elokim Melech Olam asher kedushanu b'mitzvaseh v'tzivanu al achilas matzah. Two brachas on matzah. Not as good as sushi. Sushi, you can make four brachas. Make barim hazaynes, barim ha'aretz, or if you're Adama, and Shahakal, it's pretty good. Four brachas and sushi. What bracha we made is yes, maybe it's a little wine and sushi, but make it look okay. Go and also. but you make two brachas on matzah. Well, how many brachas do you make on a shofar? Besides the shechlin, put aside the shechlin. How many? Make only one bracha. How many brachas do you make on lulav and eshev? One bracha. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvah al metilas lulav. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvah al there's only one bracha. Matzah, how many brachas do you make? I gotta make another bracha. So why? No, I'm eating. If I'm eating, I'm being nene. You know, if we really always get the impression that if we can take the hamotzi and get rid of it, we would get rid of it for Pesach. You get that impression. It's just no. What could we do? We're being nene, it's a bichas hanene. When we eat the matzah, having hana. You know, mitzvah is lovely, honos me. But when it comes to food, you're having hana, you know, you can't deny the fact. Simchas kresa. Shots of matzah taste pretty good, right? Or whatever matzah you eat. Simchas kresa, you can't deny. So, no, it's like it's a necessary evil. Chassid Shalom to say that. You have to make the bracha of hamotzi lechem in aretz. But, you know, tonight's the Pesach Seder. If we really can take away that bracha and just focus on the mitzvah of Allah, the spots that we would do, that is totally, what I just said is totally outrageously wrong for many, many different reasons. And I want to focus on one thing. First of all, the bracha of hamotzi is the whole daf Gemara. What bracha you make when you eat bread? Is it hamotzi? Or is it motzi? Or is it I've got the whole Gemara, all different possible expressions. End of the Gemara. The Gemara says we learn out. They're really the Gemara. The end of the Gemara. And I didn't prepare some point I want to make. So I'm just going to tell this. Is that really the bracha of hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz is really not the correct and the ideal nusa. The reason why we say every single day or every time you have bread, it's because it reminds us of Mitzias Mitzrayim. Hamoitzi eschen mitachas sivloitz mitzrayim. So the truth is, every time you make a bracha of hamoitzi lechem in haaretz, it's zecher liyitzias mitzrayim. This is a daf gemara. It's not for now. So saying the bracha of hamoitzi lechem in haaretz. No, not lechem. It's the word hamoitzi. It's not hamoitzi. Is the present tense, the past tense. The bread is not moitzi. It's how will you say in the past tense? The Gemara goes to this whole thing. Anyway, that's not for me. So the first of all, which will be appreciated just on a very simple level, is that when you make a bracha of hamoitzi, the bracha itself is the bracha of zecher liyitzias mitzrayim. Hamoitzi eschem mitachas sivlo yisrael. That's a separate point, not for now. There's another point I want to make. What will happen? What happens if a person does not make the bracha hamoitzi lechem haaretz? You get so caught up in the Yom Tov, you forgot to make it. You wash, kadesh, urchatz, karpas, yachatz, magid, rochtza, make a bracha, moitzi matzah. Moitzi matzah. You now come to the matzah and you just get karpas. And you crunch into the matzah, you bind into the matzah, you forgot to make the bracha of hamotzi lechem in haaretz. Are you yoytze the mitzvah of al achilas matzah? Halacha l'maaseh, are you yoytze the mitzvah of achilas matzah? It's so you would say, why not? I ate matzah. No, I didn't make a bracha. So I didn't make a bracha. No, what else is there? Well, it's shock to learn.
What if you take that dal mean you don't make a bracha?
Oh, excellent question. Let's say you take the dal of mean you don't make a bracha, or you yotze the dal of mean. Let's say you make a bracha on shofar. You are absolutely yotze. Every single mitzvah in the entire Shulchan Aruch, b'li yotze in the naklal. If you do the mitzvah, you put on tefillin. Oh, that can make a bracha. Mark, do you remember if you made a bracha on your tefillin today? Don't answer that. You do. Excellent. If you don't make a bracha, Mayor, do you remember making a bracha on your towels today?
Yes.
You do? Very good. Okay.
I've been on the end
there. Okay, you remember. If you don't make a bracha, are you yotzei the mitzvah? You definitely are yotzei. You definitely. What happens if a person steals a shofar? Mamash and gan. He breaks in the highway, goes in, he breaks it, and he steals a shofar. Is he allowed to make a bracha? You're not allowed to make a bracha.
Oh.
It's a mitzvah haboba avera. When you blow the shofar, are you yotze? You're yotze. It's a very strange halacha. You go in and you highway robbery, you hold up a Judaic store. This is a hold up. No one move. We want that shofar. Give me that shofar. You steal the shofar. And you're on the FBI's most wanted list for stealing a shofar. And you go and shoo, here's the shofar. Are you allowed to make a bracha? FBI walks in. Listen, you can't make a bracha on that shofar because you're a ganav. It's a mitzvah habavah aveira. If you make a bracha, it's yoyver on reisis Hashem Hashem elokecha lasha. But before we take you away in the paddy wagon, you might as well blow the shofar. And you'll be yoyver in the mitzvah. The yaitse, why? Mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu.
Bread you steal?
I'm going to have to matzah yet. I want to tell you one other time. You yaitse the mitzvah shofar? You yaitse the mitzvah shofar. Why? Mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu. If you shake the little vanesha, like with stolen little vanesha, stolen 100%. No sneakers. You yaitse the mitzvah of shaking the little vanesha. You steal tefillin. Your mamish go, you're gone. If you break and you steal someone's tefillin and you put them on your yotze. Are you allowed to make a bracha on the tefillin? No. Are you allowed to make a bracha on the shofar? No. Are you allowed to make a bracha on the lulav neshuv? No. If you make a bracha, you're over on one of the Ten Commandments. Like sisa eshev Hashem elokecha lashav. It's a bracha levatola. It's a mitzvah haboba aveira. You're not allowed to make a bracha. But are you yotze? You're yotze. I don't know if they're going to give you shlishi and shul for this. But you yoytze the mitzvah. How does this work in Shemayim? I don't know how this works in Shemayim. But you yoytze. Because mitzvah is lav lehanos nitnu. Matzah, if you don't make the bracha, asher kiddushan of the mitzvah said the son of al achilas matzah, you yoytze. 100% you yoytze. If you stole the matzah, by the way, and you eat them, and are you yoytze? Could be you. Well, you know what? I'm not even so sure that might be different. Let's put that aside. Could be you are yoytze that element. I don't know. Let's put that aside for now. But there are many long list of poskim that say something that is utterly shocking, shocking beyond belief. If you don't make the bracha, hamoytzi lechem min haaretz, you're not yoytze achilas matz. Why not? Because it all depends on how far you want to go and take what the Gemara says. The Gemara says we have a steer in the psukim. It says Hashemayim. It says Hashemayim, Shemayim, Hashem. The Aretz Nosan Levnei Adam. The Aretz Nosan Levnei Adam. Whatever's on this world is yours. Yours. And there's another pasuk that says La Hashem Ha'aretz Umiloya. Don't touch. You see the cereal back in the back over there? Don't touch the cereal. It's not yours. You're Ganoth. La Hashem. Ha'aretz Umiloa. La, no. It's awesome. Me'il. Gemara is one chazal called Me'il Behegesh. It's Hashem's. Not yours. How dare you? Don't touch the merchandise. Stira. How do we reconcile the stira? The Gemara answers. Can. Koidim habracha, kan laachar habracha. Before you make the bracha, la Hashem ha'aretz umuloya. It's not yours. After you make the bracha, as Harav, Dr. Colonel Shlomo Cohen Shlita would say, the bracha is a matir. The bracha is a matir. When you make the brachas hanenin, it now becomes yours. When it comes to matzah, lochem. It says the word lochem. People, they go so crazy. If you're a guest in someone's house, they say, I'm making you the matzah. Pick up the matzah. It should be kind of the matzah. It should be your matzah. It shouldn't be a shiloh that you need a din of. There's a din of lochem when it comes to achilas matzah. If you didn't make a bracha of hamaytzi lechem in haaretz, lahashem haaretz umuloya. This is not yours. You're ganof. It's not even lochem. You can't be yoytze the mitzvah of matzah. You need to say hamoytzi lechem in aris to be matzah the hanah. It's a birchas hanenin. Every other mitzvah b'chol ha'Torah kula is not a birchas hanenin. The only mitzvah, the best of we have korbanos today. Bizman hazeh. The only mitzvah bizman hazeh that is not just a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah within a framework. Oh, a birchas hanenin is achilas matzah. Birchas hanenin, la Hashem aretz umuloya. Chazal say ki'ilu moa, you're moa al behegdish if you don't make a bracha before you eat a piece of food. So if during the weekday a person doesn't know, he does not miser in brachas, he mumbles like a Ravig de Miller once in the hall. I love to say this. He saw one of the boys. He went to the water fountain and he went, and he turned on the water fountain and he called, do me a favor, make another bracha. And then, even though you made a bracha, I saw you make a bracha, don't worry. I take full responsibility for a bracha levatala. How I saw you make that bracha before you turned on the water fountain to drink, don't worry. I take a chrayis. Make another bracha with me. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehyeh B'Dvarai. It's okay, make a bracha. So a person during the week doesn't make brachas. You got a problem. You got a big problem. But when it comes to Lo Pesach, before you start measuring with all the shiurim, with all the charts and instruments, don't forget, before you eat the matzah, and if you don't want to make a bracha of Asher Kiddushanim and Mitzvah Sitzur al Achilas Matzah, it's okay. Not okay, but you'll be yoytze with all of your measurements and all of your chumras, you'll be yoytze. But if you don't make a bracha with kavana, clearly, of Hamoytzi Lechem Min Haaretz, which one would think is the most irrelevant bracha of the whole Seder, it says, it's a necessary evil, chas v'shalom. You know, tonight's the Seder. What do we got to make a hamoytzi? All right, so make a hamoytzi because we got to make a hamoytzi. No, just the opposite. It is so important. La halacha, according to some poskim, not all, the Gemara is to be taken so literally. You take the Gemara so literally. Ki'ilu mo'al, you mo'al behegdish, ha-shamayim, it's va'ashamar, it's mo'loa, until you make that bracha, you don't have a matir, you're not yoytze. It's not your
bracha. What do you do, make the bracha again?
You make the bracha of hamoitzi, that's right. That's correct. You make the bracha of hamoitzi, you need to make the bracha altogether. What do you want to make it again? You need to make it to begin with. You need to make it to begin with. Oh, yes, do you make the bracha asher k'dishon al-achilas matzah? L'chara you do, it's a hefsek. It's a hefsek. You have to make
the bracha. You have to wash again also? Do you have to wash?
No. L'chara not. Washing l'chara not, because there's no hesek hadas, unless you're b'siach das, unless there was a delay and your hands became dirty. L'chara not, you wouldn't have to wash again. But the bracha is the most critical bracha of the whole Seder. The mitzvah deraisa, there's only one mitzvah deraisa lil seder. Only one mitzvah. And that is achilas, maybe hagad also. Sibri tzias mitzrayim.
But the mitzvah is that's the only bracha.
What?
The only bracha you have to make is when you ate the
benching. Midaraisa, benching.
You ate the matzah with the carb pesach yachad. That's the right.
Let's talk now for some practice. Rather, Bizman Azeh is no more deraisa. More Bizman Azeh is the Rabbanon. Korech is only a Zecher, Zecher Lamikdash. There's no deraisa. Dala Koitzois is the Rabbanon. Everything by the Pesach say the Bizman Azeh is the Rabbanon. Bizman Shebeis Hamikdash Hayakayim, there's three deraisa. There is Pesach, Matzah, and Morah. We don't have a Pesach today. Morah is only deraisa when there is a Pesach. So there's no Pesach, there's no Morah, is only midrabanan. But Matzah is Bizman Hazeh deraisa. And that's it. Dalet Koitzos are derabanan. I guess the mitzvah of Sipur is also deraisa. Ucholes deraisa. Birchas Hamazon is deraisa, but it's not related to Pesach. That's not unique to Pesach. It's the Birchas Hamazon that's Bechal deraisa. Bechal Kavisu Virachta. But ordinarily you have to appreciate ordinarily birchas hanen is not deraisa. It's a very strange concept. Birchas hanenin is not a deraisa. Not a deraisa. Think about it. Make a shahak. Make a hamoitzi lechem in aretz. Yet, when it comes to a mitzvah to be matir something for when a birchas hanenin is for a davar chol, I want to take now a Hershey bar today. So I have to make a shahakal. So when I make a shahakal, is that a deraisa? No way. Making a shahakal on a Hershey bar is not a deraisa. Oh, but a big mile behind this. Lashem aritzimuloya. So knew you were ganef. What else is new? What else is new? Is it a deraisa? Yet, when it comes to doing a mitzvah of achilas matzah, it changes the dynamics. It's a very fascinating concept. The Birchas Hanenin regarding an Achila de Araisa, not everyone agrees to this. It's a big tumult. A lot of Achrayim that talk about this. What? No, Achilas Matzah, the mitzvah. Achilas Matzah is like make the bracha on Shofar. If you don't make a bracha on the Shofar, you blow the Shofar, you'd say 100%. If you don't make a bracha on Tefillin, you put on something, you'd say 100%. If you don't make a bracha on your talus, of course you'd say. Making the bracha asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu al achilas matzah. That's the birchas hamitzvahs. If you don't make that bracha and eat the matzah, you yoytze, you finish. But if you don't make the birchas hanenin, it's not your matzah. So, but it's not a deraisa when it comes to a Hershey bar, because a Hershey bar is not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah Hershey bar. Hershey bar is a Hershey bar. But when you're doing a mitzvah deraisa of achilas matzah, which the Torah says it must be lochem, it must be yours. And the Torah also said, La Hashem ha'aretzu moloya. It's not yours. And the only way where you can make it yours is, La Hashemayim, Shemayim la'Hashem, v'yo'aretz masal v'me'odam, it's to a bracha. Now, the birchas hanen becomes a daraisa. It's just an incredible chiddush. And then when you finish eating the matzah, you make the birchas hamazon, which is also a daraisa. So when it comes to the Pesach Seder, not only are you doing a deraisa on the achilas matzah, you're doing a deraisa on the bracha lifonecha, only the bracha of hamoitzi lechem in aretz, and incidentally, you're also making the birchas hamazon that is a deraisa. And if you don't make that bracha with kavana, you're in a lot of trouble. At least according to many, I think the majority is actually the Gnayot. And it's counterintuitive. I mean, because you would think, bracha of Hamosi Lechem, that's not what the Seder is all about. The Seder is all about Manishtana, and about this. This is something you anyway do the whole